The Holy Spirit is not the enemy. This is a teaching where the Holy Spirit wants to clarify and declutter some of the false ideas and manipulations of Scripture that have caused people to shut him out. Now, we know from the biblical history in the Old Testament that God spoke to man. Not only did he speak to Adam and Eve in the garden, he spoke to the patriarchs, he spoke to Abraham, he spoke to Moses very clearly, as well as giving him the Ten Commandments. He spoke to Jeremiah, he spoke to Isaiah, he spoke to John the Baptist. He spoke not only to the disciples, but actually through them. After Jesus had ascended and they had received the power from on high when they waited in Jerusalem. God makes it very clear he wants to speak to his people. In Isaiah 65:24, he says, "Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." We're not to have a relationship with him that is one way. We speak, pray, petition, beg, whatever our particular way of believing that we are to talk with God, and there is nothing in return. That's called a monologue. One, mono. We are to have a dialogue. God is a very talkative Lord, three in one. He speaks to us in so many ways. But if we've been taught that we're not allowed to hear him because he might be some kind of other spirit, that's like saying, because there is counterfeit money, we better remove all money from the global system, because we might not be able to trust any of it. That's the type of attitude that some people have about hearing Holy Spirit individually and personally. Yet Scripture, if we're going to use Scripture, which is often used in a way that becomes a straitjacket for people, it must be interpreted just this way. And this is a doctrine we have. And why are there so many denominations? Because there is so many people interpreting Scripture in the way that will suit their particular belief system. And it's no wonder unbelievers look at us and think we're all completely mad. I just want to do a very minor, and I do emphasize minor, little historical, pulling out a little bit of the historical nature of what's happened from the Reformation to current day, and how the freedom that the Reformation was meant to bring in some circles has become something that straitjackets the Word of God, as in the Bible, and straitjackets believers. There is something called sola scriptura, and it was a particular doctrine that the Bible contains all knowledge necessary for salvation and holiness. Now that, we can accept that. We expect the Word to line up with anything that we believe. And we expect what we believe to line up with anything in the Word. Because if our belief is in opposition to the Word, something is wrong. Having said that, the interpretation of the Word can only be precise through the Spirit of the living God, whom sword it is to wield. In sola scriptura, it has become, again, in some circles, they've made it so rigid that rather than the original intent, the original intent was to say, we don't need ritual, we don't need particular sacraments in order to be saved, in order to know salvation and holiness. We need to be obedient to what the Word of God says, and we need to live our faith from that Word. Now, in the original proclamation of sola scriptura, which means literally by scripture alone, during the time of the Reformation, when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the Roman Catholic Church, there was then a necessity for an authentication of scripture. And they decided that it would be governed by the validity of the text, so from the Latin, which is what they had at the time, and from Greek text, as well as a personal witness of the Holy Spirit to each man that was in determining the authenticity. They were not against the Holy Spirit, is what this is saying. They did not say, if you receive a word from God personally, it is evil. They did not say, you can never trust anything you hear. You have to only read the word and then be so narrow-minded and so terrified that you might get something wrong, that just read the word with the dryness of a text. They never intended that. That is what has happened from the original doctrine of by scripture alone. Now, the only reason I'm elaborating on it is so we understand the basis of what's happened. Originally, it was so there would not be a misinterpretation of the Word of God, and because they were moving away completely, in many respects, from the traditional church of the time. But the Bible does not replace God. The Bible, the words, the living words that he's placed in there that were inspired by his very spirit to the writers, that word is not a replacement for God, but is an expression of his heart. And it's to direct us, is to correct us, is to encourage us, is to guide us. But all of us know, when we read a portion of scripture, we may have read it 5 years prior, and it meant, on one level, we had an interpretation or an understanding. 5 years from then, when we originally read it, we should be in a place where there's so much deeper a meaning because our relationship with him is deeper. We're not excluding one or the other. The Spirit and the Word are together because it's his Word and he's the Spirit of truth. Let's just look at Jesus's discussion about the Spirit of God and what he thought. In John 16:13, Jesus said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Then again, let's go into 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, beginning at 10-13. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And these things we also speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, if we're going to say it's only the Bible and what we read is the only way we're going to compare spiritual with spiritual, and yet God has said through Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that it is the Holy Spirit that teaches comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, we have cut off the third person of the Trinity. Who are we to do that? Who are we to say he's not enough? Who are we to say it's only in the Word, and if we don't read it in the Word, then it cannot be from God? No, what we take is what we've been received from his Spirit. And if we believe it's truly his Spirit, we ensure that it isn't some kind of cockamamie idea and we're running off with nonsense. But we don't hinder him. We don't shut him up. We don't muzzle him. We learn his voice because he says, "My sheep know my voice. They hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." How are we going to follow him if we don't know his voice? Yes, we get it in Scripture. This is not denigrating the Bible. But we are not going to place the Bible above his Spirit, because his Spirit has to speak to us through these words. He's not cut off. And he will speak to us in visions, and he will speak to us in dreams. He says that his Spirit has been poured out on us. This again, though, this is where we want to make it clear, and this is why there is such a divisiveness in current Christianity about this, and there has been for centuries. This is nothing new. It's just gotten so mad, so wild, so insane, that it's no wonder people say, "I'm only going to read my Bible. I want nothing else," because there's these insane charismatics running around saying everything and anything and calling it the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit is not out of control. He's not a fool. He doesn't make up doctrines that denigrate Jesus Christ or his body, the church. None of that is real. There is no need to have some kind of wild ride in the Spirit. There are many demonic spirits that will impersonate the Holy Spirit, but nonetheless, as I said before, that does not mean that we deny the Holy Spirit. Just because we can hear our own voice, we can hear the enemy's voice, we can hear what man has said to us, and we can hear the Spirit. Just because we can hear those other three does not mean that we can't hear the Spirit. We have to ask for discernment. And who gives us the gift of discernment? The Holy Spirit. Who compares spiritual things with spiritual so we'll know whether they're from God or not? You don't cut him off to decide whether it's from God or not. You invite him in. In some circles I've seen, there's a terror of that. In fact, if you ask, when I do a preaching, well, 99% of the time, unless I've forgotten, and then I usually do it in the middle of the preaching, I invite him. Of course I invite him. He's the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of truth. What am I going to say without him that will have any value whatsoever? As Jesus said in John 5:39, when he was being constantly denied as the Son of God, he said, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." We do the same thing with Holy Spirit. The Father sent the Son to redeem humanity, the glorious gift of redemption and salvation. The Son came, was born, crucified, buried, and resurrected, and then ascended. He sent the Holy Spirit, the teacher, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of Christ. All those names are for the Holy Spirit. And we now, in much of Christianity, deny him. as they denied Jesus, because they were going to search the scriptures, but were not willing to come to the Holy Spirit and seek his help, seek his wisdom, seek his teaching. Not in opposition to the Bible. We have to stop doing this either or nonsense. It's his word. He inspired it. Does he not know what it means? How are we going to learn? Why are there so many denominations? Because this man over here believes this particular scripture means that. And then we don't like what they said about it. And then we're going to split. And then we're going to have another denomination because that last one, that didn't make sense to us. And we would rather have this idea. And it goes on and on and on till there's 20,000 plus denominations. Jesus was not a fan of denominations or sects, S-E-C-T-S, groups, factions, fragmenting, division. We are one body in him. In Ephesians 3:19, one of the most beautiful scriptures, that Paul states this, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the kind of closeness God wants. That's the kind of intimacy he wants with us. To know the love of Christ. That word know is the same word that means a man and a woman coming in union together to become one flesh as husband and wife. It is that knowing. If we cut the word off from the Spirit and just say, well, the Spirit will talk to me through the scriptures, and that's it. And we make up rules for him and how he's going to speak to us, when he's going to speak to us. And he's only allowed this way, and we straitjacket him. How are we ever going to know deeply as one the love of Christ? This is why it's dangerous to close off from the Holy Spirit. It will kill your faith, ultimately. You may have the Bible read backwards, forwards, upside down, in every which way. You may have memorized the entire book. But if you don't know the love of Christ that passes all knowledge, and you can only understand the spiritual with the Spirit, as he said before in 1 Corinthians, you will not know that love. For it is the Father who has poured his love out by the Spirit into our very hearts. But if we don't know the Spirit, we won't know that love. It is the Spirit, even when we're first born again, that will reveal who Christ is. It is the Spirit from whom we can worship God in spirit and truth. We cannot cut off and eliminate and ostracize the third person of the Trinity and expect to have a living faith. That's insanity. And to be so afraid of him because some people have gone off the deep end. Again, is saying, well, somebody got hit in a car and they had a car accident. Nobody better drive anymore. Or, as we said before, oh, there's all this counterfeit money running around, so we better just remove all money. No, we don't do it like that. We get to know the genuine article so we don't misinterpret the truth, so we don't get scammed by false doctrine, false prophets, false teachers. So we don't get fooled by demonic spirits. We get to know him, the genuine article, Holy Spirit. Here in Psalm 91:15, as David wrote about the Lord, he will call upon me and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. It says he will answer. He will speak to us. As David was writing these Psalms, the Lord was speaking to him. Do you know that if we are living epistles of Christ, written not in ink, but by the Spirit of God, of the living God, And he's placed his law in our hearts and written them in our minds. We have him in us. He really is one with us. We're one spirit with God Almighty. That's how we are the body of Christ. That's how we're in union with the Father. That's the glory of the cross. And let's look at some of the most beautiful words that God has for us to give us an example of how he thinks of us and how he speaks to us. Let's go to Jeremiah 1. We'll start with 5. Most of us would know this scripture or at least be familiar with it. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, this is Jeremiah speaking, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. This is how close and intimate he is with us. Now, yes, this was a message specific to Jeremiah, but we know he formed us in the womb. We know he knew us because he's planned our lives. They're ordained each day. He's created us. We were known before the foundation of the earth. That's the closeness. That's the value that God has for us. We read also how the Holy Spirit fills us, not only in the day of Pentecost, but for particular purposes. Here in Acts 4:8, Peter was speaking to the high priests and the scribes and the elders, and he said, Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, If we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. And he is speaking of the man at the Gate Beautiful who was healed instantly, who wasn't able to walk. And everyone was, of course, incredibly amazed. Now, he's filled with the Spirit to have this speech, to speak to these rulers, these elders, the high priests. And let's go to 1 Peter 4:11. And Peter said, If anyone speaks, let them speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let them do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The oracles of God means the words of God. How can we speak the words of God if we shut him out and muzzle Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God? He is not less than the Father. Would anyone dare to shut the Father out? There is such a hierarchical understanding of the Trinity, but they're equal. They're inseparable. They're all omniscient. They're all omnipresent. They're all omnipotent. There is no difference in that, in their essence. So there should be no difference in the honor that we give them. And let's go to Matthew 10. 19 and 20. Now he was talking to his disciples, and what happens so often is many particular denominations will say, well, that was only for then. God won't do that now. But that can't be possible because he indwells us. Are we to shut out the God who indwells us? But let's look at this. In 10, 19 and 20. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Do we not have the Spirit of our Father through the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit. And if God is Spirit, Jesus told the woman at the well, and the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Spirit is not someone to hide from, to deny, to denigrate, to dismiss, to ignore. He is to be honored. And it is only by him that we will have the depth of communion that we're told to have with God in an authentic way. And let's go to Revelation 1, verse 6. It's talking about what Jesus Christ has accomplished and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. If we are kings and priests to our God, how is it possible that we cannot hear his voice or we're not allowed to hear his voice? The Spirit was given as a gift and a promise and a seal for humanity when they became believers in Jesus Christ. To pretend he's not there for fear you may get the wrong answer or the wrong spirit or the wrong idea is to say that a child who may go to school and by year 8, learn something wrong, well, we shouldn't have them in school whatsoever. And I'm not going to go into a debate about homeschool or public school or private school. We're just talking about learning, whether it's in the home or whether it's in an institution. That's how much sense that would make. We have to learn to walk in him, the Holy Spirit. We are to walk in the Spirit. Paul says in Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. How are we going to learn to walk in him if we never commune with him? How are we going to learn to overcome the things of the flesh if we deny there is a third person of the Trinity? And how are we going to be more than conquerors without his strength and his power, and his knowledge, and his wisdom, and his grace? To cut off the Holy Spirit is to cut off the Father and the Son, because they are one, inseparable, the Holy Trinity. And it is time that the church, as a body, stop treating him as the enemy, to be suspected of, to be questioned continually, and to be treated as if he's a criminal. Now, granted, there are people that misuse the identity of the Holy Spirit, but we are to learn. He tells us, he warns us, Jesus warned us, the apostles warned us that there would be false teachers, false Christ. He didn't say deny the Holy Spirit because there was going to be false ones. He said, beware. Be wise. Be warned. And the Spirit of truth will lead you into all truth and teach you concerning all things. Let's allow him to be who he's been called to be in our very beings and on our very lives. And now I just want to ask him for a prayer that will help us to not be pulled or swayed one way or the other, but instead walk that narrow path with him. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And Jesus Christ, without you, we'd have no union with God. We can never repay you. We can only live for you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, we speak to you directly, for you spoke directly, not just to the apostles, but you speak directly to us, not just through the word, but in our hearts, for that is where the love of the Father is. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us to be free of any bondage, of any false doctrine about you, any lies, any wrong manifestations, any man-made teachings, so that we can know you authentically, the genuine article, God himself who lives in us. We love you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you would deign to live in mere mortals that are now immortal with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ and faith in him. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the Spirit of truth. We ask you to forgive us for treating you as if you're a suspect in a crime. Forgive us and heal us of all wrong thinking about you. And help us to be in union with you, Lord, because we are meant to be, because we're meant to have communion with the Holy Spirit. We love you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for you are one. In Jesus' name, amen.